The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is the Players Lounge, broadcasting live from Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters at the Star. Now your hosts,
Barry Church, Danny McRae, and Newey Scruggs.
Hey, what's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Back here in Frisco, Texas. It's not as hot as it was, you know, the past couple days. We got a little rainstorm the other day, so it ain't as hot. But it's your host with the most, Barry Church. It's your average box safety. I'm joined by the man, the myth, the legend himself. You better book him on time. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about Danny McRae. What is popping, my dog? What's going on?
You said host with the most money.
Here we go.
No, man, look, no man, no myth, no legend. But The challenge did come on last night.
It did, and I watched that mug. I'm going to tell you right now. For those who aren't watching the challenge, Danny McRae is on. CBS is the challenge, right?
Okay. CBS.
Let us know a little bit about what's going on the challenge real quick. Before we dive into Cowboys football, I got some questions about the challenge. But so far, give me your overview of what's going on so far.
Man, they trying to kill us out there, bro. Dropping us off buildings. We having to swim in dirty water, you know what I'm saying, 1,000 yards at a time. And I'm not that good of a swimmer, right? So I'm out there thinking I'm going to die. But your boy's surviving, man.
He's doing his thing.
You know, I'm staying under the radar, making sure my name is not in anybody's mouth, right? That nobody's upset with me. Nobody wants to throw me in. So
That's
still rolling.
That's that vet mentality from Survivor. So you took some of the Survivor traits and you brought it over to the challenge. And it seems to be working out so far.
Yeah, keep quiet. Stay out the way. That's all.
That's all you got to do, huh?
Stay out the way.
Just make sure you ain't in the elimination.
Yes, I don't want no trouble. That's it.
Once again, this is Barry Church, Danny McRae. We're at the SWBC Studios. This is the Players Lounge. And we're still working on a sponsor. You know, we're going to get things done. Don't worry about all that.
Church, get us a sponsor.
We're going to get that thing going. Our main host, Newey Scruggs, he's out in Denver right now for the joint practice between the Dallas Cowboys and the Denver Broncos. He'll be calling in here and shortly to break down what happened at practice so far. But I was able to watch practice through Training Camp Live, DallasCowboys.com. If you guys didn't watch that, Training Camp Live was excellent with Kyle Yumas and Isaiah Stanback doing the hosting duties. But from what I saw at practice, because it was mainly focused on the offensive side of the football. Yeah, I know we got a little bit of clips of the defense, but the cameras were mainly pointed at that offensive side of the football where Dak Prescott and the offense were going against Denver's defense. And let me tell you something.
You talking about that defense that got us last year?
That defense that did work on us last year. That did work on us last year.
Who laid out the blueprint for everybody else to come
in. And everybody thought the blueprint wasn't real, but it ended up being real.
That
defense out there. So I'm watching and going into practice and going into, you know, all the training camp and everything, I thought the main focus and the main concern for that offense would be the wide receiver position. You know, Amari Cooper gone. You still got CeeDee Lamb, who he's still doing his thing out there. He's a dog. I'll give him that. But you lost Michael Gallup, ACL. Amari Cooper gone via trade. So to me, I'm thinking, all right, man, our offense, our receiver position, it's going to be a little tough. A lot of unproven talent out there. But something that shocked me when I was watching practice.
It shocked
me today as I'm watching, and I'm like, man, you know what? This offensive line that we have, it's concerning. Because if you're watching practice, Denver's defensive line, led by Chubb and all those boys, without Randy Gregory, because he was hurt with surgery, they were living in the backfield. I'm talking about Dak Prescott had probably no time back there to get, you know, plays developed, anything like that. The running game was stifled. To me, it's concerning because that's usually one of the strengths of our offense, you know, these past couple years has been the offensive line. We know they're getting up there in age a little bit, but to see what I saw in practice and how Chubb and those boys were pretty much living in the backfield, it's kind of concerning. What's your thoughts about that?
I got to say this, okay? I know what offensive line you're thinking of, and you're thinking of the offensive line we had when JG was here, when you had Travis Frederick, and Zach Martin, and Tyron Smith, you know, in the heydays. But if you look at where we were last year, what our offensive line, and then how we look today at practice, it's not too far off. When we first played Tampa last year, we saw Vita Vea come in and And he put the pressure on us in the middle of the offensive line.
And we
said, hey, man, this is going to be an issue. We need to get somebody who has an anchor, right?
Yeah.
And then you move into this year, and you're trying to figure out if you have those guys, right? But you got Terrence Steele, who's going to be starting at right tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Who's pretty much every time you see Michael Parsons in a highlight during training camp, it's him going against a Terrence Steele.
Gotcha.
You have Tyron Smith, who you're not really sure how his health is going to be. You're still working on your first-round draft pick, who you drafted at tackle, but you got to play him at guard. So we know that we're trying to figure out the pieces that are going to help us be successful throughout the year. So this is a tough task, right? Because we know that Denver's defensive line, they got some monsters on there, and they gave us the work last year. So I'm not really surprised that, you know, on day one when we go out here and play against somebody that's not the Dallas Cowboys, mm-hmm. that we may look a little rough. It's going to take a little time, but hopefully by the time we get to week one, we okay.
Yeah, and I will say this. You know, there wasn't a lot of penalties. Like, you didn't see a lot of holding penalties or false starts and that. So hopefully, you know, Mike McCarthy is doing his thing out there. He's been in the lab.
It should have been holding.
Yeah, it should have been some hold out there, because that, like I said, that Denver D line, they were living in the backfield back there, and Dak really didn't have a lot of time to do pretty much anything out there. I will say this: the young first round pick Tyler Smith, they had him in at guard, left guard, and right guard. And from what I've seen, you know, I'm no O line expert. You know, I played in the secondary, no O line expert, but the guy has some tenacity about him, and he seemed to be able to hold his own against the ones from Denver, and we know they have a fierce defensive line there. He seemed to be able to hold his own. He was taking the reps at with the second team. He sprinkled here and there with the first team, but the majority of the reps for first team were taken by McGovern, who I would say he didn't have a terrible day. You know, not great, but not terrible. You know,
so that's the scale, right?
That's the scale right now. Where do you see Tyler Smith being able to crack this lineup? Like I said, he had a solid performance out there today at practice, in the joint practice against the Broncos. Do you see Tyler Smith being able to crack this lineup heading into week one?
I think it's going to be tough for him to do it. I have to see how he plays when he gets out there during the preseason, right? Because me and you both know, when you're practicing against your own teammates, it's a little different, right? When those lights come on and you get out there and the speed of the game is picking up a little bit, because you're starting to see different looks, different schemes, not the same stuff that Dan Quinn is doing, mm-hmm. but it's now Denver's defensive coordinator is giving you looks that you may not have seen, especially coming from a smaller college,
yeah, that's
right?
True. That's true.
So once he gets you know, kind of caught up with the speed of the game, I think he's going to be a starter.
You think he's going to be okay.
The only thing that scares me about him starting to left guard is that same concern that we always have, is what happens when the left tackle,
which is going to happen,
down, right?
It's going to happen.
He's out for a game or three games. What happens then, right? You don't want to mess up a guy like, I go back to last year with Terrence Steele, rolling that right tackle.
He was doing his thing.
Right? Then Collins comes back. You move him over to left, and it wasn't the same for the rest of the season, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's a totally different position. You got him out of his groove, and I don't want Tyler Smith to get in the groove at left guard and then have to bump out to left tackle, because we know that's where the dog's at.
Yeah,
right? Yeah. Unless you play in the Rams, but everybody else, they got those DNs, and they're coming, and that left side is the side that really needs to be protected, which is why Tyron Smith has been there so long making that money, because that is a very important position. And when he's out, you see the difference in what the Cowboys are when we have that protection. And then when Tyron Smith is out, it's like, this is probably the worst of the worst.
Yeah, I mean, because he's a young guy. He's raw. I would say he's talented, but he's raw. He has to work on his techniques a little bit. When I'm talking to Nate Newton, he says that's one of the big things that he needs Tyler Smith, the young guy, to work out on, is it's just a technique. He has all the strength. He has all the physicality to go out there and be that road grader, pancaking guys left and right. He just has to work on his technique a little bit, and I think you're 100% right. When you talk about Tyron Smith missing some time out there, which, you know, knock on wood for him, but I mean, if we go by history, he's going to miss a couple games. Where do you go from there? Like, do you throw the young rookie out there to the dogs on that left side and put him in there at tackle? You don't want to overload his brain, because we've seen that happen before. Like you said, with Terrence Smith, you don't want to get – or Terrence Steele. We've seen that happen to where guys will be so locked in at their position, they get tossed into a completely opposite position, because I didn't play offensive line, but guard and tackle to me seem like two totally different positions.
Very different.
You don't want to throw a guy like that, and if he does bad, you know, kind of hurt his confidence. You know, we've seen it with Terrence Steele. It hurt his confidence when he was moved from right tackle to left tackle. So to me, hopefully, You know, he's able to go out there and keep performing at a high level, but got to keep in mind, you got to learn both positions because, you know, one of these days it's going to happen where they're going to end up throwing him over there on Ty Smith's side. So hopefully he's able to come along good and he's able to keep the penalties to a low and he'll be able to ball out. But like I said earlier, I was concerned. I was concerned about that offensive line looked like out there. Dak didn't have too much time. I understand it's one practice and it's your first time going against, you know, opposite colors, but you wanted to see just a little bit more out of the O-line.
Well, listen, we'll get to see what Nui thinks. We'll get to see what Nui thinks because he's up close and personal. So I think we're about to get Nui on.
Nui, you're with us.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you.
Hey, the man, the myth, the legend, Nui. What is going on out there? We know you're doing the legwork for us out there at Denver watching the Cowboys versus the Broncos practice out there. We just touched a little bit on how the offensive line, to me, watching it from Dallas, Texas, the offensive line looked to struggle a little bit. Looked like Denver was taking advantage of them out there. What are your thoughts on what our offensive line looked like against that Broncos D-line?
All right, good question. I stood basically on the other side of the field most of the time, checking out the defense and Russ. So offensive line, I didn't really get that much into it. And then what I did see was Farnock fighting with 51 here, who threw a punch on Farnock. I had to Farnock put him down and then kind of basically like stayed in. But definitely chippiness on the side of the field where Dak and company were. Dak just spoke to the media, and he's like, hey, you know, it's practice. I did ask him, I said, do you feel like you got the better of their defense? And he said yes. Mm-hmm. But like I said, I spent most of my time on the other side of the field watching practice with Terrell Davis.
Well, tell us a little bit about what you saw on that defensive side of the field. I know Diggs wasn't participating, and neither was J'Ron Kearse. And it looked like their replacements were Knowshon Wright and I want to say Donovan Wilson. So what did the defense look like on that side versus Russell Wilson and the boys?
Kelvin Joseph needs work. Number one.
Boss Man Fat needs a little work.
Yeah. Boss Man Fat needs some more work here. The defense overall, look, Micah is Micah.
Yeah. Okay?
There was a couple times Russ got some passes off. He's like, yeah, you was about to be sacked. But Micah is playing some really good football. They completed some passes for some touchdowns out there. They did. The defense has some work to do, but overall, live drills, you know, let the Cowboys go, let Dan cook up some blitzes and things like that, it'd be a little bit different. So from a defensive standpoint, knowing that J.K.'s not back there, Diggs not back there, and they're back, it was just a fall-off. It was a fall-off. But Devil Gallimore had one of the great lines. He said, I wish somebody had told me about his altitude. He said, all right, I'm thinking, okay, 95, that's cool. It's like I'm back at home. He said, then at altitude. He's like, you know, I kept going. I looked around like, is it just me? And he's like, then I looked at myself like, the check engine light went on. Because of the altitude. And just, which, by the way, for fans who don't know, the winning percentage here at Denver, the whole winning percentage here, is one of the highest in NFL history. And that comes from, hey, guys aren't used to playing in this altitude, so while it is hot, 95 degrees here, now you add that extra level of elevation, and so you're having to rotate a lot of guys. You're having a lot of guys that got to get used to the elements that are here that are different. So the defense, there's, you know, here's a good thing, Mike McCarthy. You guys tape to show people. You're not there. There's some things that you've got to work on here, and I like that.
Okay. And then I got a little two-part question for you. First, what did number 90 D-Law look like out there? Did he look like the old Tank Lawrence from the past, or what did he look like out there? And then my second part is, I know we had, you know, Micah Parsons coming off the edge, but was he playing in that, you know, second-level linebacker position as well, or is he strictly coming off the edge?
I was watching mainly coming off the edge. That was when I was pointing. I was standing next to Terrell Davis. I was like, watch Micah right here. Micah went got rushed twice.
Yeah.
So he looks good. Tank, and they had moved Tank inside on some of those as well. Tank looks good. I mean, they're good football players, and I'm not worried about them. It would be nice to see these guys be able to go live. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, obviously they weren't going to do because of the way they structured the practice. But 90, 11, they stay healthy. These guys should have the kind of seasons we expect from them.
Yeah, I think, yeah, and I, it would be hard for you to answer this question too, but I think my main concern is the same concern we had last season with our defense is the beef in the middle, right? Are we able to, like, the pieces that we've drafted, the young guys that are now moving into year two and year three, how good are they going to be against the run this season? And without them going live, it's hard to see. But are you, from what you can tell, are we at least in position and guys out there looking like they're able to hit and separate and get off blocks and make these tackles against the running game of Denver?
I feel better about them than I did last year. You know, I feel better about them than I did last year. But overall, some of this stuff, you know, the way they've got it coached, you know, kind of what they are allowing the players to do, you can't get a guy down, you can't really get in there and stick. But they seem to be assignment where they need to be. Now, look, Jonte Williams, who they have here, is a good football player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's definitely a great running back there as well. Was Melvin Gordon practicing today, if you know?
I did not pay attention to Melvin Gordon at all. I didn't see him out here. Even if he was, I didn't pay attention. But I was looking more at Williams, who you guys are fantasy football players. Get him. They're going to try to run a zone. They're going to try with a zone blocking attack here. They want to run the ball here. And Williams is going to be the guy. So they're going to try and get him the ball in space. And you could just see he and Russ working together here. So I'm a fan of Williams, man.
That's big time. That's big time. And one more question before we let you know or let you go. We know you got a lot of work over there in Denver to do, but I want to know how big John Ridgeway looked out there. I know we got the two pieces, Odighizuwa, Neville Gallimore, but it's always great to have that third rotational piece as an interior defensive lineman. Did he look like he can be that third guy to come in there and rotate in that interior defensive line?
He left the field hurt.
Oh, no.
So he left the field hurt. So that's on there. That's it there.
I got one more for you. So you got to tell me about Boss Man Fett, okay? Like, so is it one-on-ones or is it him when he's on the defensive side? Is it all together?
This is the team. This is one-on-one. One-on-ones. Ones against the Cowboys ones. He was running with the ones, man. And, you know, like I said, he needs some work. So, you know, so there we go. That's nicely how I want to put it.
Okay. How about this? did my guy, Anthony Brown, continue his stellar training camp performance out there in Denver?
I'm not worried about Anthony Brown. I'm worried about Boss Man Fett.
Was Anthony Brown doing his thing?
Because we know when Trayvon Diggs get out there, Boss Man Fett probably is not going to be touching the field very much. So Anthony Brown has been performing well against the Cowboys receivers. I want to know how are him, Jordan Lewis, how they looked against Denver's guys.
Denver completed several touchdowns against the Cowboys secondary. And, I take it like this. They were wins for them. I don't want to take it against them. But at the same time, you couldn't touch the quarterback. And so if you could have Micah getting there, right, they I don't know how many of those they get.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like, hey, man, you know, you can't touch the quarterback. And he can keep on scrambling and get out. There's work to do. They got some work to do. But overall, I just feel like if you're Dan Quinn, you're Mike McCarthy, you feel good from the standpoint. You can be able to talk to your guys and say, hey, look, we got more work to do.
Hey, well,
all right, fellas.
All right, man. We'll go ahead and do your thing out there. To me, it sounds like Micah or bust. But hurry on, get back to Dallas so we can go ahead with this Players Lounge. Appreciate your time, Nui.
Bye now.
Well, that was the great Nui Scruggs giving us some information on the padded practice, combined practice between the Broncos and the Dallas Cowboys. But here at the Players Lounge, we're going to take our first break. And when we get back, a player, Danny, that on the receiver core, that kind of surprised me. You know, I thought he would get lost in the shuffle, but he looked like he's doing big things out there. We'll talk about that. And also, there was one guy. I mean, a lot of chippiness, a lot of fights out there in Denver, but there was one guy out there who was instigating the whole thing. It might have been a former Cowboy. We'll talk about it when we get back here at the Players Lounge, brought to you by, here at the SWBC Studios. We'll see you when we get back.
With Smoothie King's original angel food and new angel food slim without added sugar, you no longer have to choose between treating yourself and hitting your goals this summer. You don't have to choose between great taste and feeling great. Because at Smoothie King, every blend is made with whole fruits and no syrups, so you can satisfy your cravings without compromise. The only choice you will need to make is which one is best for you. Try our classic angel food or the new angel food slim, blended without added sugar. Smoothie King. Rule the day.
Nobody protects you from mayhem like Allstate. I'm a broken traffic light. Stop and go is the name of my game. It's easy. You go, they go. What was it? They go, you go? And if you have the wrong car insurance, these repair costs could stop you in your tracks. So get Allstate's new low auto rate and be better protected from mayhem, like me.
Not available in every state based on coverage and limits selected. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. In most states, prices vary based on how you buy. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Attention Cowboys fans looking for the best shave of your life. There's a new official razor of the Dallas Cowboys, Shave Logic. Imagine not having to buy blades as often and getting more smooth shaves than your old razor, guaranteed or your money back. After more than 10 years of research and over 150 company patents, ShaveLogic is proud to offer Cowboys fans a special offer. For a limited time, visit ShaveLogic.com and get a free $10 gift card with your purchase. Go to ShaveLogic.com now for more smooth shaves guaranteed.
The Cowboys way, where 16 Hall of Famers and 5 championships shows us what success looks like. Where turkey is always the second best part of Thanksgiving Day. Where we are all defined by one single thing, the star. Where we as fans know it's our job to keep the tradition going. Bank of America is proud to be the official bank of the Dallas Cowboys and to support the quest of living life the Cowboys way.
Copyright 2020, Bank of America Corporation.
Back to the Players Lounge.
And we're back. The great Danny McCrae, and, you know, just your average Brock safety, Barry Church over here at the SWBC podcast studio here at the Star in Frisco, Texas. So, McCrae, before we went on the break, man, you know, I was talking, and there was one wide receiver, but I'm going to make it two. There were two wide receivers that pretty much stood out to me out there at today's practice.
On this wide receiver court that you're worried about?
That I'm worried about. You know, at first, you know, that was my number one worry. That was my number one worry, and then I saw what that O-line looked like, and I'm like, it ain't looking too good. So it dropped down in priority.
So these two guys that you're seeing, are they making you less worried?
Making me a little less worried. Okay. I think we still need, you know, to look at the veteran market out there as far as receivers are concerned. But it's making me a little less worried about that that unit as a whole, talking about the wide receiver unit. And the two guys I'm speaking about are the young undrafted guy, Dennis Houston, number three out there, who – he seemed to have a good rapport with Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott, during his interviews after practice, seems to highlight this guy and loves his work ethic and loves what he can bring to this receiver room. He does pretty much everything right, and he catches the ball great. So Dennis Houston and a guy that's been here a couple years in Noah Brown. Now, the first, you know, couple seasons watching Noah Brown out there, he didn't really, you know, splash or anything like that. He just seemed like a consistent guy out there. But this past training camp, he's been doing his thing. Whether it's catching deep balls, catching intermediate balls, he seems to have a great set of hands on him out there. And I was watching practice. It seems like no matter if the guys are blanking to coverage him, if it's pass interference, no matter what it is, he has such a great catch radius that he's just bringing everything in. He seems to get open because he's not the fastest, the most agile. He's not like Cole Beasley out there where you can't even put a hand on him. But the guy just seems to make play after play after play. And I have to say the same thing about Dennis Houston. He seems to be making play after play after play. And this guy Houston, especially being undrafted, is already running with the ones. I mean, he's already over guys like Semi Fehoko and all those guys in there that's been drafted. So, to me, those guys are standing out. And what is your opinion so far on this unit as a whole and anybody that stands out to you?
I'm not really worried about the unit because, like I've said before, I believe that this is a system type of offense where – Dak Prescott is going to go through his reads and hit the guy who Kellen Moore gets open, okay. Right? I'll say this about Houston and the Dallas Cowboys' history with picking up undrafted free agents, all right?
Mm-hmm.
We got two of them sitting here, right?
Yes,
so Will McClay knows how to get the guys who slip through the cracks and somehow don't get drafted. He brings them in.
Like Miles
and
usually,
and yes,
Cole Beasley.
And these guys somehow end up making the team, and then having great careers.
Yeah,
all
that's
right?
True. That's true.
And then we look at Noah Brown, who – when he was making catches last year, I was like, why is he getting the rock?
Right. Yeah.
You got CeeDee Lamb out here. You got Amari Cooper out here. Why is this dude getting the rock? Yeah. And then now in this training camp, you're starting to see like, oh, okay, all right, I get it.
Some plays.
I get it, right? So if the quarterback trusts you to be in the right spot and make sure you're going to catch the ball, if he can trust you to do those things, then you're going to get the look.
Yeah.
And the guy's gotten looks in real game-time situations and big-time moments, because these are like fourth-down situations. Yeah. We like, what the hell is
going on?
Right?
Why is this guy getting a rock? But, you know.
So if Dak trusts him in those moments, and then they're going to continue to build on this throughout the offseason and now through training camp, I think you can expect to see Noah Brown get some a fair share of targets this year.
I can expect that. And when you look at the unit as a whole, I mean, you know, CD, he's going to do his thing. I mean, even watching this practice, he was getting catches out there. He was not only chopping up our Cowboys secondary when we played him in camp, but he's chopping up Denver's secondary as well. So I feel like he's going to be that dog. Hopefully they kind of get him the rock, similar to a Davante Adams in Green Bay. They find a way to kind of manufacture plays for this guy, hopefully.
Whoa. Okay, Noah Brown, Davante Adams. Okay, all
no,
right.
No, I'm talking about CD. I'm talking about CD. Manufacturing for CD. So we know that he's going to get his catches. He's going to do his thing. And hopefully Noah Brown and Dennis Houston, they can come along with him and kind of be that, you know, complimentary players, especially with Michael Gallup being out. Now, Jalen Tolbert, he's been doing his thing as well. So what do you think about the rookie receiver so far?
I like Tolbert. I think the thing that worries me is having too many weapons for Kellen Moore, right? Mm-hmm. Because I want them to focus on one guy, right? I want you to run your offense based on CeeDee Lamb and then everybody else gets the rest, right? Mm-hmm. But I think the competition in the wide receiver room is great for our team, right? When you got a Noah Brown, you got Tolbert, you're bringing in more guys, right? And all of them are performing. So when you get guys like Simi Fehoko, mm-hmm. and you're like, draft a guy, but you can continue to move down the list as these other guys perform better. And I think it's only going to make this group as a whole mm-hmm. perform better because they know, hey, man, when I get out there, I got to maximize this opportunity because I got another guy
who's
coming up behind me who may take my spot if I don't perform well. And I love it because we've been talking about creating competition in these rooms for the last 3 years.
Iron sharpens iron. It's going to make them better.
And you're starting to see it. So I love it. I think these guys are performing well and they are maximizing their opportunities. I just want to see what they look like in the game time situations.
We got to see what they look like in the game time situations. And one more question before we get to the run game, because it looked a little shaky as well. But before we get to that run game, do you think, you know, I know my thoughts, but do you think Dalton Schultz can be that valuable number two? Because we know CeeDee Lamb is going to be that number one guy. Gallup, you know, he's not going to be there at the start of the season. Do you think Dalton Schultz can be that valuable number two?
I think Dalton Schultz is going to play that Jason Witten role, that safety blanket like he did last season. And I think the defense is oftentimes going to allow you to get the ball to Dalton Schultz.
They'd rather that short right? stuff yes, than that deep. Okay.
So I think you're going to see a lot of that. Maybe you get a double on CD and then Dak scrambles a little bit. I think Dalton Schultz has that knack for, like, getting open in the zone, being able to sit it down and giving Dak somewhere to be that safety blanket. I think that's going to be Dalton Schultz's game. You're not going to see him lined up at number one, you know what I'm saying, going against a cornerback like Kelsey. But he's going to be that guy who's going to give you that safety blanket. He's going to end up with 100 catches, maybe 1,000 yards and 12 touchdowns.
And some paper because somebody going to pay him.
Right. So I definitely think he will be, if not the number one pass catcher, the number two as far as how many targets and receptions that he gets this season. Okay. I think, is Nui on here? Nui, we in?
Yeah, you got me.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you was gone, Nui.
No, I came back. You wanted information, I went out, I got it. So Melvin Gordon didn't practice today. He's dealing with an injury, so he's out. I didn't tell you, I forgot, Randy Gregory. Before practice, you know, dapped up Al Harris and a couple of equipment guys, dapped up DQ. Then he went after Clarence Hill later on during practice. So he mad at Clarence Hill about things Clarence has written.
Oh. So he went
out of his way to go chirping and chirping. Then as fights were going on, he was out there in the field involved in it. One time McCarthy kind of gets there and kind of like tries to, you know, get him out of the way, kind of like, all right, Randy, go. And so he was heavily involved. One media member who saw a lot more of it than me said, Randy's being a real blanker. I won't say words.
Wow.
A real blanker.
And he didn't have pads on, right? He was just out there with a bucket hat on.
Right. Dude didn't practice. He was out here apparently agitating and instigating. And I asked Dak about it. We asked Dak in the media scrum, and he said, yeah, Randy just misses us. That's all. But you know, he didn't want to go too far, which was code for, yeah, he was out here doing too much. So somebody's still salty. Somebody's
Somebody mad, man. I don't know why he got all that money, man. So he was out there just instigating, because I seen about three or four fights watching it on DallasCowboys.com. So he was the main instigator out there starting stuff.
He was one of them, man. He was one of them. So pettiness knows no degree.
Who was he mad at? He mad at the players?
I guess you got to go $70 million, but I guess you got your issues and problems. So that, there it is.
How did the whole thing go down with Randy and Clarence Hill? Like, how did that whole thing get going down?
So that one, because I was on the other field, I came over here, and then one person told me about it. Then I asked him, and he said, "Yeah, he's been mad at me for what I wrote, and he's still mad, and he wanted it to be known because he saw him, and Clarence wasn't going to sit around here and run from it."
Yeah, Clarence ain't the one to run. I know that.
Yeah, right. And of course, they got all the information from a very reliable source. Wink, wink. ain't like they wrote something that was false.
Yeah.
It's interesting. So he tried to talk about, his path that, hey, I admit my mistakes, dot, dot, dot. But then if you bring them up and you talk about them, then he wants to get upset. Which is like, hey, man, this is the life you've chosen. This comes with the meal. If you're not available, and it's because of, self-inflicted wounds, then people are going to talk about it. And it's going to be an issue because you have made it an issue. But, apparently he's still salty about it. And look, Jared was salty when he had that opening press conference on the 25th when he was talking about availability. Mm. And Randy was one of the key people. He was talking about three people: Amari Cooper, Randy Gregory, and Lyle Cobb. Mm. 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 There was no doubt about who they were talking about. It is what it is. So, apparently, Randy still got his issues, so, you won't go after the reporters. Ooh, you got your $70 million, man. You got your bag. Move on.
You better focus on being healthy and being available for his team this season.
Yeah, that's what he needs to focus on. Instead of trying to get back at, like you said, reporters and writers, just focus on what you need to focus on. But, Nui, real quick, what in this preseason game do you need to see from this Cowboys game, from this Cowboys team offensively and defensively?
Defensively, I need to see Boss Man Fat. I need you to improve. You're a second round pick. You guys know how this thing works in the NFL. Second round picks are drafted to one day become either starters or heavy contributors.
Yeah.
And so they're running him out here with the ones, and the Dick isn't going to play on Saturday night. So, you need to be out here doing your thing. Want to see if Chauncey Golston can become a better player and make some impact on Saturday night. I want to see what Bell looks like. Mukamu, a couple other guys in the DB room, where do they go? Ridgeway got hurt, so does Bohannon take advantage of the opportunity and solidify himself? Tristan Hill, they don't have. There's going to be some dudes on this D line to get cut. Yeah. Jobs are at stake here. So Saturday night is going to be very big defensively for backups. Offensively, Saturday night, let's see what Houston is able to do and Tolbert's able to do, because these guys need the reps.
They do.
The kicking game. Guys were out here, Maher and Hirelahu were kicking earlier before practice. Bruh.
It still looks shaky.
It's still not.
They're going longer, but they're not going in, huh?
Oh, man.
You're still not pulling one of them on your fantasy team.
Yes.
The Cowboys should be watching all kicking contests across the league when these preseason games start. Who might be available?
Man.
Because so that Saturday night, I hope that there are opportunities so we can see the field goal kicking situation. So that's what you want to see when you're out here.
Oh.
But it's about those backups, man. And so Cooper Rush taking advantage of his opportunity. I don't know if Will Greer is going to play because he's dealing with a groin injury. So it should probably be your Cooper Rush. Last stand for DiNucci game.
So. DiNucci get a last chance in there. We're going to see.
I don't know. I'm excited to see him. Like I said, I just want to see us be able, because I feel like I have an idea of how we're going to play in our secondary.
Mm-hmm.
My issue is our front seven. I want to see us be able to stop the run, be in position, and make those plays that we weren't able to make last season, so teams don't think they can come in here and have that plan of we're going to run the ball down their throat, and that's how we're going to stop them. Like, that is what I want to see, some physicality from our front seven.
Yeah, and look, guys, they want to run the ball in Denver, so that's going to be an emphasis there, that they're going to go out and do that. And so You know, we'll see. We'll see Saturday night, but there's guys, and there's guys who have to play well to keep their jobs here, and I'm with you guys. You got to be able to stop the run. That was an Achilles heel for the Cowboys last year. Out here today, the altitude got to them. I asked Nate Hackett afterwards. I said, you know, a couple of the Cowboys, you know, said the altitude, the heat added with the altitude, 95, and then you add that altitude onto it, man, it was a challenge. And he said he could see it going on as they kept practicing later on, that yes, you know, it was having an effect, which, oh, by the way, you guys know.
Oh, yeah.
It's why they have a winning percentage, one of the highest winning percentages ever in NFL history here in Mile High. It affects you.
It does. It does. Well, once again, appreciate you contributing on here, Nui. We're going to take our last commercial break here. But when we get back, something that Kellen Moore said and actually followed through with, I would like to see your thoughts on that, Danny, when we get back. Once again, this is the Players Lounge at the SWBC Studios here in Frisco, Texas. We'll see you when you get back.
With Smoothie King's original angel food and new angel food slim without added sugar, you no longer have to choose between treating yourself and hitting your goals this summer. You don't have to choose between great taste and feeling great. Because at Smoothie King, every blend is made with whole fruits and no syrups, so you can satisfy your cravings without compromise. The only choice you will need to make is which one is best for you. Try our classic angel food or the new angel food slim, blended without added sugar. Smoothie King. Rule the day.
Attention Cowboys fans looking for the best shave of your life. There's a new official razor of the Dallas Cowboys, Shave Logic. Imagine not having to buy blades as often and getting more smooth shaves than your old razor, guaranteed or your money back. After more than 10 years of research and over 150 company patents, Shave Logic is proud to offer Cowboys fans a special offer. For a limited time, visit ShaveLogic.com and get a free $10 gift card with your purchase. Go to ShaveLogic.com now for more smooth shaves guaranteed.
Nobody protects you from mayhem like Allstate. I'm a broken traffic light. Stop and go is the name of my game. It's easy. You go, they go. What was it? They go, you go? And if you have the wrong car insurance, these repair costs could stop you in your tracks. So get Allstate's new low auto rate and be better protected from mayhem like me.
Not available in every state based on coverage and limits selected. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. In most states, prices vary based on how you buy. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
We paid how much for those lessons?
Shh, she's doing great.
Oh yeah, totally. Can you pass me a Pepsi Zero Sugar? Great job, honey! Oh. Oh, look at that. That's not the end.
No way. Now it's time for the encore.
You know what? You're right. Five times? Not enough times.
For everyone who traded in rock concerts for their kids' recitals, you've compromised enough. Pepsi Zero Sugar. That's what I like.
Back to the Players Lounge.
And we're back here at the Players Lounge. The great Danny McCray and your average box safety, Barry Church here. So last couple minutes of the show here, I teased off talking about, you know, Kellen Moore saying, you know, we're going to get Tony Pollard involved more, whether it's the run game or it's the pass game. We're going to get this guy the ball. We're going to get him involved more. And, you know, it's always a lot of, you know, talk. It's always a lot of talk. You know, we heard, you know, Coop's going to get the ball more. He got it for one game. You know, we heard Jerry say, hey, we need to run the football more. We handed off to Zeke 12 times in a playoff game, which we know wasn't a good deal. So we know there's always a lot of talking going on. But from what I've seen in this combined practice between Denver and Dallas is they did get a concerned effort of getting Tony Pollard the rock. There was a lot of 20 personnel out there, which means 20 personnel, two running backs, zero tight ends. You saw the makings of something.
Man, all right,
they were, you know, Kellen Moore dropped back, throwing a couple screen passes, a couple dump offs. They had Tony Pollard in the slot doing some receiver work. So, you know, I think it could be good. It could be good for the Dallas Cowboys. What is your thoughts on getting Tony Pollard more involved with this offense?
You know what? I'd rather see Tony Pollard be more involved in this offense, similar to how Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb are versus running 20 personnel and putting them in the slot. All right, the Cleveland Browns arguably have the best backfield in the league with those two guys.
I would say so.
And they're not running all that 20 personnel. Every time I see 20 personnel and I see a highlight, I see Zeke coming around the corner as a lead blocker.
He was a blocker on one of those.
You know what I'm saying?
One of those end arounds to Pollard.
Like, what are we doing, bro?
90
like,
million blockers.
What are we doing, bro? Like, yeah, get them involved, but don't get them involved at the expense of an Ezekiel Elliott. Like, yeah, you don't have to do it that way, all right? So I'm happy that he is getting them involved, but we also know there's this training camp and they're really just working on how to do
the
that. Because
ins and outs, for sure.
You get out there and try to run 20 personnel the entire season, defensive coordinators are going to fire off on you.
They will.
Because,
they will.
Because if you run 20, then you missing some blockers out there.
You ain't got no tight end. You ain't got nobody to block that end. So we're going to see.
So you know, unless you got Zeke playing tight end.
Full back.
So shout out to him. What I really want him to do is focus on getting Zeke the ball out of the backfield, all right? Mm-hmm. Whatever. Flat routes, whatever you got to do. I want to see some counters. I want to see some power. I want to see a concerted effort of trying to establish your physicality in these football games with Ezekiel Elliott. And then when you put a guy like Tony Pollard in after that, that's why you see him break those 60, 70-yard mm-hmm. runs, because Zeke been pounding them for the first three quarters, and all of a sudden, man, they don't know what to do. And you get a change of pace, change of speed. Tony Pollard out the gate, but yeah, slot receiver, 20 person, I don't know.
We'll see. You know, at the end of the day, I think we can both agree on this, that without a solid run game, I don't think this offense is pretty much going to go anywhere. It's going to be kind of like it was last year. You know, a lot of points being scored early on, but as you go against better teams, if you don't have a solid run game to complement that passing attack, teams are going to start to figure you out, and we saw that last year. But Danny, it's been great as always. Keep balling on the challenge. That is what we have for you here today on the Players Lounge, SWBC Studios. It's me, Barry Church, your average box safety, and the legend, the myth, the legend, the reality superstar, Danny McCray, across from me. We'll get Newey Scruggs back here, I believe, next week, so he'll be over here to host as well. So hope you guys enjoyed the Players Lounge. We'll be back next Tuesday, I believe, same time. So thank you very much. That's all we got here for you today.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!